This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's start today with reaction from a member of the Massachusetts delegation to President Donald Trump's State of the Union address last night, specifically to what the president had to say about immigration.
For decades, open borders have allowed drugs and gangs to pour into our most vulnerable communities. They've allowed millions of low-wage workers to compete for jobs and wages against the poorest Americans. Most tragically, they have caused the loss of many innocent lives.
The president did offer what he called a four-pillared plan for immigration reform, including a pathway to citizenship for 1.8 million undocumented young people. Then Trump also said this.
My duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers too.
Well, let's get some reaction from Congressman Richard Neal. He's the dean of the New England Congressional Delegation, and he represents Massachusetts' 1st Congressional District, which, of course, covers parts of western Massachusetts. And he joins us today from Springfield. Congressman Neal, welcome back to the show.
Oh, glad to be with you.
Did you hear any room for negotiation on immigration from the president's speech?
Well, never so hopefully. When I started out in this work, one of the things that you did, you used the opening statements to outline a position, and then you figured out how you were going to get to the goal line. So if there is some room here to negotiate, we're going to quickly find out. But I think there are a couple of items that really have to be set straight. One, the largest problem that we have with people who are undocumented in America is that it comes from the idea that they actually request in their native countries a visa for holiday or vacation, and then they overstay the visa and don't go back. So the idea that all of a sudden you still have people pouring over the Mexican border is simply inaccurate, largely because of the fact that last year more people returned to Mexico than have come to America. And at the same time, we all agree that you certainly should know who's inside of the country. And individuals who are convicted, for example, of a felony should be deported. But what we're talking about here is some compromises that aren't based upon the idea that your opening position is your closing position. So I could see some room here. I think that we could move on with some incremental steps that might build some confidence so that we can get to what really needs to be done, and that is comprehensive immigration reform.
Okay, so let's talk about that a bit more then, because the president last night described, as we said, this four-part plan, right? The pathway to citizenship for about 1.8 million young people, more funding for a southern border wall, an end to family-based immigration and the visa lottery system as well. And he wanted to move to a merit-based immigration system as well. And here's how the president described his four pillars.
These four pillars represent a down-the-middle compromise and one that will create a safe, modern, and lawful immigration system. For over 30 years, Washington has tried and failed to solve this problem. This Congress can be the one that finally makes it happen.
So, Congressman Neal, I wanted to ask you about the specific language the president used, about this being a down-the-middle compromise, because I know a lot of immigration advocates don't see it at all as down the middle. They see it as a continuation of the president's nativist hard-line stance on immigration.
Well, it certainly, I think, sounds, as it did last evening, as though there's some intransigence to his commentary. And I think there's broad agreement, for example, to increase economic growth in America, to increase productivity, and to increase job opportunity, that we need more immigration. I think that that would be verified by most mainstream economists. The problem is that the president seems to target a couple of areas, and then he uses that as the example of what's wrong. And I think that we all would agree that you could use more skilled people coming to the country. I think one of the tragedies of our current system is, particularly in a place like Boston, where you have these terrific young people that come from across the globe to be educated in some of the finest academic institutions in the world, and after a period of time, upon graduation, they are sent back to their native lands, where I think holding on to them makes a good deal of sense, and I think actually that would be part of a middle ground solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let me ask you about a challenge which I think that it seems that the Democratic Party might face here, right? Because I go back to what we played the president having said earlier, that he talked about, in his words, open borders, allowing drugs and gangs to cross into the United States and millions of low-wage workers. These are the president's words. And most tragically, these open borders having caused the loss of many innocent lives. Now, that was all in one paragraph that the president uttered last night. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up again is because, to my ear, he's lumping in all sorts of things with legal immigration. And once again, going back to this notion that it's a source of a great amount of crime. I mean, it's that characterization of immigrants as a whole, which members of the Democratic Party really chafe against and may make any kind of negotiation rather difficult, isn't it?
Well, firstly, I think it's important to remember that immigrants, whether they're documented or undocumented, they participate in crime at lower rates than Americans who have, in some instances, been here for generations.
Absolutely. I mean, the president's just wrong about immigrants being higher crime.
He is mistaken on that. There's no doubt about it. The second thing is, if you look at the waves of immigration that took place to America from the 1850s, for example, when the first immigrants came from Ireland based upon the famine, and you look at the successive wave of immigrants that came, they were quickly absorbed into a manufacturing economy, an industrial economy. And America needed their input in terms of labor to grow. And that is not much different today when you consider that when you look at who files for patents in America today, I believe one-third of the individuals that file for patents in this country today are immigrants. I was just reading a terrific story about Enrico Fermi, for example, and he turned the world upside down, literally. He was an Italian immigrant. So I think that there's always been a certain tension in American history, despite our proclamation that we are welcoming to immigrants. There's been that bit of a who's next, who's coming in. But you know what? In a generation or two, the individuals seem to be absorbed into the American economy.
Mm-hmm.
And they move on with the same sense and sort of values that the rest of us have. But this constant portrayal of immigrants to America as being the source of big crime is really not true.
I just wonder if that makes it harder for Democrats who like you want to see if there's room for negotiation to when it comes time to actually sit down and perhaps hammer out some kind of compromise, it might be more difficult because many of their own constituents are not going to want to see the party compromise at all with this president.
Well, I think that you can't have the 11 million people here that are here today living in the shadows and not sense the urgency to provide them with some regularized status or at least a path forward. I thought when President Obama said, register and get in line, that made an enormous amount of sense. But I don't think the threat of deportation, if one registers, ought to be hanging over your head. I mean, the individuals that we're talking about here with DACA, they have committed no crimes or they would be deported. When he spoke of MS-15 last night, we're all in favor of deporting gang members that have participated in violent crime.
MS-13.
But to link that to the depiction that this really is the face of immigration is simply not true.
Final question for you. We just got under a minute here, Congressman. There's been a lot of focus, of course, on the president and his State of the Union, but let's not forget that continuing resolution that got passed a couple of weeks ago was only going to keep the government open for some 3 weeks. So we're fast approaching another major deadline here. I mean, what kind of things on the immigration front do you think could happen before a potential government shutdown again comes front and center?
Well, if I were offering a hunch, I would think that the Republican majority in the House and the Senate, they will offer another continuing resolution. The problem with this is that you are now 5 months in to this year, and there's no budget. So the fiscal year started in October. So we keep doing these CRs, and it's a very bad way to do government. And I think that it should be known and acknowledged that this has now really gone on for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the constant polarization and incendiary rhetoric has not been helpful to getting America a budget on time and in line with what happened when I first came to Congress.
Well, Congressman Richard Neal represents Massachusetts First, speaking to us today from Springfield. Great to have you, Congressman. Thank you so much.
Thank you.